This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, I'm literally Mark Dolan. This is Mark Dolan Eats the News. The time is midday and we've got a big problem, which is that this show is a news reactive entertainment show on FUBAR Radio, which is the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. The problem is bugger all has happened this week, so we're just going to have to play songs. However, to help me scratch around for a news story or two, it's the incredible comedian, the brilliant writer, and also, if I'm honest with you, Britain's most eligible woman if she was single, which annoyingly she's not. It's Wendy Wason!
Hello!
Listen, it's so great to have you on the show. What a week. We know that there are lots of strong feelings either way in terms of whether or not we should have had a referendum about our place in Europe. Should we be in the EU? Should we? Was it a mistake? Was it not? There's lots of upset about the kind of the fallout. Suddenly racism is okay again. It's a terrible thing, but just on a really shallow level, Wendy.
Yes.
Be shallow for a moment, because I know you're a person of depth.
Okay.
But friggin' hell, it's been entertaining, hasn't it?
Oh my God. Nigel Farage talking to the European Parliament was a thing of beauty, with the guy behind him doing a fucking face palm.
It was extraordinary. If you didn't see this, people forget that Nigel Farage is not like an elected figure in this country. He's not in the House of Commons. However,
he's an elected joke.
Well, he is an elected, but he's an, what is he? He's an MEP.
He's a member of European Parliament. How did that happen?
No one knows. And I think a clerical error. But he went
to... Is that a church error?
Just a bit. I think it's in the same ballpark. But so he went there. Actually, we'll see if we can find a clip of it.
Pull it up.
But essentially, Adam, do you mind if we can have a little look for the Nigel Farage rant in Brussels?
He just comes across as a pompous oaf. And he says that the guy behind... He said, none of us here have worked a day in our lives. Unfortunately, the guy behind him was the first person to perform like a hot open heart transplant.
Oh.
In skin.
You couldn't make it up. So that was... But the thing is, this is so fast moving that Nigel Farage in the European Parliament... First of all, it wasn't even the biggest story yesterday. And now it's certainly not the biggest story today, because we have the breaking news, which is that Boris Johnson is out of the race to become Prime Minister. It's game over. And you've got to say, it's played out like a Shakespearean tragedy for him, hasn't it?
Well, yeah. So it's played like a game of chess.
Yeah.
It's a perfect game of chess. And when David Cameron said, right, I'm resigning, everyone went, shit.
You're right.
Now we have to do what we said we were going to do. And no one wants to invoke Article 50. So he's checkmated Boris.
He really has. I mean, you're right about the chess. If chess was like entertaining and in any way interesting, it's totally like chess.
We need to get a chess set made with their heads.
That's a great idea. So what you have is a situation in which he's gone. Now, clearly, Cameron, you know, was devastated at losing the referendum. Here's the thing. He called the referendum, didn't he? Because he thought that UKIP was going to take votes away from Conservative support and that he would not win the election. Yeah. He also did it to placate the rabid lunatics on the right of his party. We're clear that's why he did it.
If anyone knows there's racism in the Conservative Party, it's David Cameron.
There you go. So now, I mean, the eternal question that historians will sort of brood over forever will be this. Would Cameron have won the election if he had not called a referendum? David Cameron is a Europhile. He's to the left of the Conservative Party. He's a One Nation Tory. He didn't really want to have the referendum. Would he have won if he hadn't had it? And therefore, was that the biggest mistake in recent times of any leader?
I think it's the biggest misjudgment in recent times. But I think what it does is we all knew he was out of touch with the electorate. But not that out of touch, because he got elected in, which we were all us lefties were really shocked by that. But, you know, people were worried about the economy. He scared old people about their pensions. That's how he managed that's how he managed to sway the Scottish referendum. He went up there and said, if you vote for independence, you're going to lose your pension.
Yeah.
And all that generation,
really
who are selfish fucks, by the way.
I know. Tell
that generation who got their houses for jack shit,
correct,
got free education, free healthcare, and decent pensions. And they're like, no, well, what about we? Now, do you know what? There's a rise in cruises among the over 65s. They're spending
in,
all that. They're releasing the equity in their houses and spending on cruises.
All right. Well,
abroad.
If they go on cruises, all I can hope for is a resurgence of the norovirus and also an emboldened fleet of salami pilots.
Salami pilots. But, I love it.
I really should have thought that one through.
Sorry.
So luckily this isn't live, so we can go again. Somali pirates.
Somali pirates.
So, yeah, I wonder whether, actually, if you are a person who cleared your mortgage in 1983, you don't have the vote. Because you're fine.
Yeah.
You don't actually need representation.
They're all freaking out about inheritance tax, which David Cameron sorted out for them.
Yeah. This is a tax they don't even have to worry about because they'll
be dead.
It's driving me crazy. So that was obviously a mistake. And Cameron is fallen on his sword. Was that the right thing to do to get out straight away? Or what do you reckon?
I was speaking to someone American about this. And they were talking about
the concept. You're so international. You know what? I want your life.
Although yesterday I spoke to... I'm not going to say who it is. But she told me this story. But one of the reasons that she voted out was because her neighbours went on holiday in Poland and they got attacked.
That's a bit strange. Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. Right,
rather than coming to Britain, where you're definitely going to be attacked now if you're a foreigner, it's almost expected.
It's the Poles we hate now.
Yes.
But
I actually got a leaflet from the Metropolitan Police this morning with a diagram as to showing me how to lynch an Asian. So, you know, it's quite clearly. Well, look, here's the thing. All right.
Lunch at an Asian. It's not the same thing.
Oh, that's what it is. Oh, yeah. OK, because of the closing curry
there
houses.
There we go.
So, all right. So we've got that. Ultimately, whilst it's a disaster for Cameron, they always say, there's an old saying, isn't it? All political careers end in failure.
Is that a saying?
That's an old... Well, it's a Mark Dolan saying. I just said
it. Oh, right, okay.
What do you think? Do you feel it?
I quite like it.
But if you think about it, in a way, no one really quits politics. It's always like you lose an election or you get chucked out. Predominantly, your run of luck stops and it's over.
It does have to stop. I mean, but then I feel with the Tory party, they're quite good at turning on their leaders, don't they?
Well, that's it.
Was it not like they did it to
Margaret Thatcher,
and then they did it to
John Major,
and then they did it to
Ian Duncan Smith. Michael Howard.
They just go, nah, not you anymore. You're not doing what we say. We want rid of you.
Which, by the way, is maybe something the Labour Party should be doing.
Oh my God!
Discuss.
So why are the Labour Party not going, this is a great time for us to galvanise and actually make some progress? Mind you, I had an issue. I've got an issue with my son's new school that he's going to. And I was looking, I was like, I must contact our local MP. But of course, my local MP is Jeremy Corbyn, and I think he might have other things on his plate
just a
right
bit.
Now. Jeremy, can I talk to you about my son's school?
Yeah, exactly. We found a lot of dog poo in a local park recently. Yeah. Can you sort this out?
Come on, Jeremy.
Okay, so here's the thing. Well, do you know what? Hold fire on Jessa.
Anything's better than Nigel Farage. Well, I mean, whenever I think about that man, I just...
Well, producer Adam is currently working on a clip for us. He's just talking to Sky News as we speak.
Yeah.
Let's hold fire. So we're going to have to file Labour for a second. Just put that on ice, okay?
Put that
under the heat lamp that is the restaurant of this show.
Okay.
And let's just finish up with, in a sense, I've got a strange feeling of elation that Boris Johnson is out of the race, and here's why. It was quite clear that he is a Europhile.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite clear that he entered this campaign as an act of political expediency, mm-hmm. opportunism. And it was so obvious and it was so transparent that justice has been done. So in a week of terrible mistakes and an awful moment for the country, at least I feel a tiny grain of justice that guy, his political career is basically over.
I thought, when I thought that he was going to be like the first sort of unelected prime minister, do you watch House of Cards?
Yeah, I love it.
I just kept thinking that Underwood was behind all of this and that we're going to have an unelected asshole who kills people as our leader.
There was a politician on the radio earlier who said that this what we're watching at the moment makes House of Cards.
I'm not saying that Boris kills people. I'm just saying that any number of people.
It's a crazy thing. So all right. So listen, what I've done. Producer Adam has called up the. We've got Nigel Farage in Parliament. So hold that thought, okay. Wendy. We've got a lot to talk about.
There's a lot zipping through my head right now.
Well, I know that's why we love you. Here's Nigel Farage speaking on behalf of this country, which is a terrible thought in the European Parliament. And so what I'll do is I'll just slide it up and away we go.
When I came here 17 years ago and I said that I wanted to lead a campaign to get Britain to leave the European Union, you all laughed at me. Well, I have to say, you're not laughing now, are you? And the reason you're so upset, the reason you're so angry, has been perfectly clear from all the angry exchanges this morning. You, as a political project, are in denial. You're in denial that your currency is failing. You're in denial. Well, just look at the Mediterranean. No. As a policy to impose poverty on Greece and the rest of the Mediterranean, you've done very well. And you're in denial over Mrs. Merkel's call last year for as many any people as possible to cross the Mediterranean into the European Union has led to massive divisions between countries and within countries. But the biggest problem you've got, and the reason, the main reason the United Kingdom voted the way that it did, is you have, by stealth, by deception, without ever telling the truth to the British or the rest of the peoples of Europe, you have imposed upon them a political union.
I mean, he's not a politician, is he? He's basically a gangster.
He's like a toddler who's still going, showing us the contents of his nappy and expecting us to be excited.
I think that's exactly right. And the contents of his nappy is basically our economic future.
Yeah. You're like, sit down, Nigel. Stop showing off.
How can we, you know, he's got his result and therefore he should be happy. How do we now just stop Nigel Farage from happening as a thing? How do we Brexit Nigel Farage?
Do you know what I think we have to do now?
House arrest?
I think what we have to concentrate on is the fact that there's been this rise, like a 46% rise in 4 days of hate crime.
Unbelievable.
They've now made it acceptable to be racist. And all the nice people in Britain are going, shit, what do we do?
Yeah.
We have to concentrate on doing little random acts of kindness because it's the only way we're sort of going to eke back some kind of moral high.
I walked down the street today. There was a black man and I hugged him.
Did you?
And he didn't want that to happen. There was quite a commotion.
Okay.
But I was twice his size. He had no choice.
Was it a child, Mark?
Well, when I say man, I mean, I would say he was in the kind of early, he was in the kind of lower foothills of puberty.
You need to watch out for that.
Well, that's what I do all the time.
Either that
and that's the problem.
Become an MP, you can get away with anything there.
So there's Farage, but don't you feel emboldened that Boris is now not, you know, the Machiavellian plot has failed?
What
happened is, okay, very, very simple.
Because when he ran for it, I was like, you must have so many skeletons in your closet.
He was in pole position to be one of two candidates. So the way it works with the Tory party election process is that you can have as many people entering, you can have 50 people can put their names forward, and then the party select two, and they're kind of head to head. It's not dissimilar to a Vote for Europe, which is part of the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes,
it's up there with that.
I understand.
But Graham Norton is not involved in this. This is just like serious.
I tell you, if we had an X factor for MPs and politicians and they weren't allowed to tell us their policies, political experts had to tell us their policies, that would be so much better.
And I would rather have Graham Norton in the European Parliament speaking on our behalf. Because when he said, you're not laughing now, that we would all be laughing. Everyone would be like, the Brits are great. That Graham Norton, brackets Irish, is very funny. So what it is, so you've got two candidates. And my people tell me, Wendy Wason, that what's going to happen is there will be a Brexiteer, someone that wanted Brexit to happen, and there'll be a Remainer. The received wisdom is that is what the party would want to happen in order that it's a balanced choice. And what you were going to have is you were going to have Theresa May, who is currently the Home Secretary and probably the scariest person on earth. I mean, I'd rather spend a week on a kind of like intimate fishing holiday with Kim Jong-un than even walk past Theresa May in a corridor just because she's so terrifying. I'm not saying she's a bad person or even bad at her job. She's just terrifying.
But you quite like that, don't you, Mark?
I love it. Because I'm a repressed Englishman.
I know.
So I need to, you know, it's the
Shout
whole...
Shout at me and tell me what to do.
Miss Whiplash, okay. Do you know what I mean? She's like Margaret Thatcher, Mark II, but like, you know those sort of sci-fi films where you got this person and then they get sucked into like a machine, this robotic machine, and there's all these wires which pull on their face.
So you're saying she's Margaret Thatcher with an upgraded operating system?
That's the one. Eventually the eyes pop open and they're all sort of silvery and metallic. And then they come out of the machine all much tougher, but maybe not so nice.
Mark, you've thought long and hard about this. It's making
I've
me
given
worry
it
for
too
you.
Much. I've given it, this woman makes Margaret Thatcher look like Mary Poppins. However, a woman of substance, a formidable political operator, the longest serving Home Secretary in the history of this country, because it's a really, apart other than being MC at Jongleurs Watford, it's basically the hardest job in the world.
Okay.
Because what happens is that the reason why Home Secretaries don't last is that you're bound to get a jailbreak or a terrorist incident, and therefore that's why you don't
eat another.
Do you know what I mean? So anyhow, so she's been quite formidable. So the idea was it would be Bojo versus May. And then the received wisdom was that Bojo would probably swing it because he's got a bit more swagger, a bit more charisma than
and
Theresa
because all
May.
The Conservative Party are sexist.
Well, absolutely right. In the irony of their great leader in the past, yeah. They learnt nothing.
But she was really more of a man's woman than a woman's woman, wasn't she?
Let's be honest. So what happened in the end is that was all going to happen. And then this morning, Michael Gove, who was essentially Boris Johnson's partner in crime for Brexit and the brains, but it was like Cyrano de Bergerac. Michael Gove was constantly saying, you know, say this now, Boris. Now say this and then say that.
He's such a whittering little dickhead, Michael Gove. I can't stand him.
A weasel.
I cannot stand. Oh, gosh, I better get up was his quote in the morning of the referendum.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Just stay up. It's one night. It's really important
to your
country.
I think you can do that. Yeah.
Oh, my God, Michael.
Especially if you're winning.
Goes to bed at 10:30. What kind of fucking loser goes to bed at 10:30?
Well, when you're up for the Perrier Award at this year's Edinburgh Festival Fringe, where you're appearing in a highly anticipated brand new solo show with no recycled material whatsoever.
No, it's called Tiny Me. You must be there. We're doing a preview this Saturday, actually, me and Michael.
At the Gilded Balloon. You and Gove.
Michael, not me and Michael. Me and Mark.
Yeah, where are we doing it? The Milton Keynes Comedy Festival.
No, I'm sure we're doing something on Saturday together, aren't we?
Yeah, but in Milton Keynes.
I'm not in Milton Keynes on Saturday.
This could be messy. Hold fire on that one while I sort out my professional diary engagements. Here's the thing. So Michael Gove was obviously the brains behind the Brexit thing. And in a way, Boris Johnson was the face of it. Well, what's happened in an amazing moment of backstabbery is that Gove has said, actually, I'm going to run for Prime Minister. And I can tell you now that I don't think Boris has got the skills and the prowess to be Prime Minister and to put together a team in this difficult time. So Gove has just knifed Boris.
He's just knifed him in the back.
It feels like I'm making this up, but it's all true. It's out there.
It is like a Shakespeare and Sarah Vines Lady Macbeth.
Well, tell us about that. Now, can you enlighten our audiences to this email, which I'm wondering now might have been a conspiracy.
What email?
Well, you know that what she did.
Oh, yes.
She sent an email to him and supporting him in his negotiations with Bojo, right?
Uh-huh.
And she went, darling, be tough with Boris and make sure you get the promise of a job. And then she wrote an email that Rupert Murdoch and Paul Dacre, who runs the Daily Mail, mm-hmm. don't really trust Boris. So you've got like a lot of leverage there.
And she's a journalist. Isn't she? She's in The Times, isn't she, Sarah Vine?
I think it was the only bit. No, Daily Mail. I should know that as Mr.
Yeah.
Daily Mail. Come
she
on.
She used to be for The Times. I'm sure she interviewed me years ago for The
I've
Times.
Had a gadget inserted in my...
anus.
Correct. Which gives me a live GPS-based feed of the Mail Online.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, what did she... You've met Sarah Vine, so you've got a personal angle here. Tell me more. She is the wife of Michael Gove.
But you know what? There's some people in the world who you meet and you just know that they've not really had to... Any sort of job I've had to work at, or I don't know someone that
Big
can
time.
Get me a job. There's
yeah.
no one that just sort of hands me anything on a plate, which is fine, and I think it's really good for you. I think it was really interesting, the speech that Michelle Obama gave when she said it's really important to fail at life because if everything's handed to you on a plate, you go to university and you get your first bad grade, your world falls apart.
Big
so
time.
I think failing and going... I'm fine, I'll carry on. It's really, really good for you.
That's why I'm so committed to failure and I feel I've sustained it over many years.
I think you're doing very well.
Thanks.
But you speak to someone like Sarah Vine, you think, God, you've never... I mean, maybe she gets depressed or whatever it is that bothers her. But she just seems to be one of these people that's just always had everything handed to her.
Yeah.
And those people can't understand. It doesn't surprise me that there's a massive chasm between the electorate and politicians because they've never lived any kind of life that we've lived.
Well, no. And this elitist metropolitan political and media class, ruling class, who, you know, and even though we're on the radio, we have a platform, you're a top stand-up comedian, you have a platform and you go on other broadcasting platforms. But actually, we are like just part of the silent majority. We're part of the great unwashed.
I think so.
Because if you're in the elite, you know about it. And what troubles me about it is that the Brexit team did, and people like Michael Gove and Boris, is that they manipulated working class voters into blaming immigration for what is essentially underinvestment in this country,
yeah,
which goes
fault.
Back to austerity. And let's be honest, it's probably been endemic since the 80s, really. And really, government after government have just accepted poverty as a necessary evil.
Yeah, well, because we all hated the banks about 4 years ago, and they've gone, don't look at the banks, look at those immigrants, look at the immigrants.
That's exactly right.
And they've all looked at the immigrants. And I find it really, really telling that... Liverpool, who's got the same demographic as so many other countries that voted, so many other towns
yeah.
who voted to Brexit, they are voted to remain, And the Sun hasn't been sold there for 27 years in a protest after what happened at...
That's interesting.
Ellsworth. So they haven't...
No one's made that point. That's a very good point.
They haven't... Nobody voted to leave in Liverpool. Yeah, and it's the same demographic as other poor towns.
It's really true. Bucked the trend. Also Manchester as well. And of course, London town, which has a lot of poverty. But it's enlightened because it's impossible to be anti-immigration if you live in London, because you just see that that's what makes the city tick.
It's just so interesting. I think they bring such a... Like, people that come into their country bring such a rich, diverse... I mean, there was a video doing their rounds on Facebook last week, and I urge everyone to try and find it. And what they've done is they've got loads of different nationalities and said, tell me what you think about this person from Turkey. And like, I hate Turkish. Tell me, you know, between you and me, just tell me if there's a nationality that makes your teeth itch. And they went through it all. Then they took everyone's DNA and did a DNA sample to find out where everyone originates from. And everyone's from the same place. I'd love to have Nigel Farage have his DNA tested to find out where his background is, because I bet you he's not English.
Well, of course he's not. He's as foreign as it gets. He would deport himself if he could. And we talked about Theresa May being a slightly terrifying, but I do respect her. You look at Michael Gove. Michael Gove strikes me as two things. One, that he was ruthlessly bullied as a child. He's just got that look.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that his whole political outlook is revenge.
But quite a lot of these boys who went to private schools, they all went to Eton and Harrow. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was reading about this yesterday. It's called Privileged Abandonment. So these boys, like only eight out of the past sort of eight, I think, well, maybe it's nine out of the past 83 prime ministers, correct me if I'm wrong, someone will Google it.
Just make it up, everyone is these
someone
days.
Someone will tweet in and say I'm wrong. But only eight of them went to state schools and the rest went to private schools.
Yeah, yeah.
Now when you go to a private or a public school, whatever you want to call it, you do not learn empathy, because you get there and you don't have the loving sort of environment of your parents. You're already trying to get yourself ahead of the game and get your gang and get into, so you have this, you suffer from this privileged abandonment, which means you don't have empathy. You physically can't feel empathy.
That's a really shocking and terrible insight, which makes you realise that you're saying that generally we're run by psychopaths or sociopaths.
Yeah, sociopaths.
Hmm.
But they've learned that behaviour in Eton and Harrow.
Because actually, what do you have to do? How many barriers do you have to build around your emotions if you've been shipped off to an enormous gothic private school at the age of seven?
At seven. And you don't have, like, you know, your parents... I mean, I'd hope that I wouldn't want to send my kids to public school, or because when they come home, they have that sort of safe haven. There has to be a safe haven. And if you've never understood what that safe haven is, how the fuck can you provide it for anyone else?
Yeah, wow. But what do you really think?
I just think I am one of those lily liberals, but I also care about what happens to the poor, and that's what makes me different to the elite.
Oh, you're such a softie. You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Mark Dolan and Wendy Wason. We had the broadcaster John and also journalist John Reynolds from The Guardian booked in, and I decommissioned him because I just thought it's like a bit calamitous today. I think we need 100% dosage of Wendy Wason. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for a large shot of 80% proof, hashtag the Wason. Not even with ice, just straight down the neck.
That's straight down.
That is your radio metaphor. Now, we wish John well. John, of whom we are a huge fan and is a very good friend of the show, is in Manchester, and he can't be here today, but we wish him and his family well, and we look forward to him returning soon. But it does mean that you get unbridled, unedited, unfiltered, live Wendy Wason and... A little bit of Mark Dolan as well, in a show called Mark Dolan Eats the News. We're going to play a record now by Kanye West, who's a popular American R&B musical artist.
And
he's
possibly
married,
a future prime minister.
Well, inevitably. He's already been slated for the leadership of the Conservative Party. good luck with that. Here's Kanye and 30 Hours. They may lie, where the hours
go. You say they never saw this coming, well, you're not alone. $1 million renovations to a happy home. My ex said she gave me the best years of her life. I saw a recent picture of her, I guess she was right. I wake up, accessing the damages. Checking media takeout. Pictures of me drunk walking out with a bitch, but it's blurry enough to get the fake out. I wake up, all veggies, no eggs. I hit the gym, all chest, no legs. Yeah. Then I make myself a smoothie. Yeah. Then me and wifey make a movie. Chicago, St. Louis to Chicago. Underlay, E-I-E-I. Uh-oh, you had me driving five, enough to switch the time zone. You was the best of all time at the time, though. Yeah, you wasn't mine, though. but I still drove 30 hours. Baby, I still drove 30 hours to you. Yeah. I remember rapping for Jane Cam. Young producer just trying to get his flows off. I remember being nervous to do Victoria's Secret till I pictured everybody with their clothes off. Expedition was Eddie Bauer edition. I'm driving with no winter tires in December. Skirt, skirt, skirt like a private school for women. Then I get there and all the Popeyes is finished, girl. You don't love me, you're just pretending. I need a happy beginning, middle, and ending. Chicago, St. Louis, St. Louis to Chicago. It's getting hot in here, that's all that I know. Got a hotel room, 3 stars for you. You call down for an omelet. Girl, it's 5 in the morning. You realize he at the Doubletree, not the Aria. Only thing open is Waffle House, girl, don't start with me. I used to Western Union for you like it's no pride. Cause you was in college complaining about it's no jobs. But you was sucking a nigga dick the whole time. Well, I guess a blowjob's better than no job. Then I drove back 30 hours.
There you go, the notoriously upbeat and jolly Kanye West and 30 Hours. Here's a guy telling you what this is.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
I'm doing it in the company of the leading comedian and writer and broadcaster, Wendy Wason. And Wendy, we're going to move on to matters of the Labour Party. By the way, I'd like to open this up to a general conversation at FUBAR Radio. At Mr. Mark Dolan is my Twitter handle. Wendy Wason, how can people... I mean, this is obviously a bit of a kind of red rag to the stalkers out there.
It's at Wendy underscore Wason.
I love an underscore. You
are
so...
I had to go for an underscore because there's a woman, there's a realtor in San Francisco called Wendy Wason who jumped on the Twitter bandwagon before I did. Bandwagon?
Yeah.
Bandwagon before I did. So don't tweet her because she gets really grumpy about
it. She needs to be taken out. She's tired of being told how funny she was last night.
She's tired of being invited to shows and and telling, you know, I love the sucking dick joke. So she doesn't seem to be a big fan of that.
I think at some point there needs to be an encounter and you need to meet this woman. And I think you need to take her out.
Okay.
I don't mean go out.
Punch
I mean
her.
Take her down.
All right, okay.
She's got to go. Because I don't honestly think the world is big enough for a pair of Wendy Wasons.
Two Wendy Wasons. There must be more than two.
Now, you've gifted me something here in this idle chit-chat, which was famously going nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And it's this. We have the potential in approximately 4 weeks' time mm-hmm. of having... No. Within the next year, sorry. Immediately in the next 4 weeks' time, Theresa May, Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Northern Ireland, Wales and the other bits that don't matter quite as much. I'm so joking.
Therein lies the problem.
So joking. So you've got Theresa May, Prime Minister, Angela Eagle, Leader of the Opposition, and Hillary in the White House. Now, I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass, but I'm thinking, I like the sound of that kind
the
of politics.
The world's about to become a better place.
Well, what do you think? And I know that Theresa May is not everyone's cup of tea, and I know Angela Eagle isn't, and I especially know Hillary is not.
I think Americans don't want... It's not that they don't want Hillary sort of per se. They just don't want... They're sick of legacy. They're sick of the Kennedys. They're sick of the Bushes. They're sick of all that sort of big families running America.
Because it equals corruption, doesn't it?
I think it does to them. But I think there is no one more qualified to run America
or
than Hillary Clinton.
Or to wear a trouser suit.
Let's face it, she's a woman. We need to comment on her clothing.
I would never be like... I'm not a transsexual. I'm quite happy being a man. I'm not even... I don't even like a transvestite. But when my wife's away on business, I've from eBay bought a variety of Hillary Clinton trouser suits, and I just wear them alone in the dead of night. And I drink whiskey and I dance around. And I've got to say, I really feel like I can be myself.
I'm not going to get sucked into the clothing discussion. I do think she's more qualified than anyone else. She's way more qualified than Donald Trump.
A lot of the outfits are polyester, which are flammable. And on one occasion, I came near a candle. It was a bad night.
Stop. Donald Trump, Boris Johnson, hair?
Well, exactly. So we've already taken care of Boris. Boris is... I know. It's a good point. So what do you think about that? What do you think about sort of three key figures in the Western world of politics being females?
Well, I mean, I quite like Angela Merkel. I know people have got a lot of beef with her, but I think she does a good job.
I would say she's probably the most respected... I think
she's very statesmanlike.
She's probably in the top three most respected politicians in the world.
I think so.
I think you've got Barack, who, although again, is not a perfect politician, but highly respected generally. Yeah. You've got Theresa May. And then I think it's Kim Jong-un is about next on the list.
Did you see the programme on BBC Two, Inside Barack's, Inside Obama's White House?
Inside his what?
Inside his White
House. That sounds more like a video. I've just Googled
really
it and it's obscene. Inside Barack Obama's inner sanctum.
White
Do not
House.
Google that.
It's really, really interesting when you see how much thought he gives, when you think about the policies of your Farages and your Trumps, which is just hot air. Like Donald Trump, you're like, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do to make America great? We're going to win! Okay, and how are you going to do that? We're going to be the best! And you're like, there's just no fucking policy there.
It's bizarre.
He's just punching the air and saying nothing.
I know. We've had 8 years of coherent government from the Americans and also a coherent message to the world about America, and it's all about to be undone, potentially.
And as
by
Michael
this
Gove said,
lunatic.
People are sick of experts.
Yeah, it's really, really true. And also, we're in a culture where it feels like all bets are off. So, for example, everyone thought Remain would happen, and then that site disappeared. Then you had the election of Jeremy Corbyn, which is a big surprise. No one saw that one coming. Then I know this is like a little bit trivial, but somehow relevant just in terms of the general ecosystem, which is that Leicester City wins the Premier League.
Iceland are going to win the Euros.
Well, that's it. And
you just heard it here first.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like whatever you thought was normal and what was going to happen has been chucked out the window.
I think it's extraordinary.
And that's why a lot of people said the reason why Brexit is the sort of forerunner to Donald Trump presidency is just that, again, that culture of, right, we can do this.
But it's so bizarre when you think about, like, so what we didn't do is we didn't check out the state of the education system before we invited the entire population to vote on Brexit. You've got people saying it's a protest vote. There is no protest vote when it's in or out. There's no such thing. You're either in or you're out. They've heard the concept of a protest vote, and they're trying to sort of exercise that. And it's not a protest against the government, because that's not what the referendum was. The referendum was about in or out of Europe. So people didn't know. What's really alarming to me is that the largest Google spike the day after was, what is the EU?
Brilliant.
What does it mean to leave the EU?
Yeah, and I think that was Boris Johnson's from his laptop.
Entirely possibly. But it's just really bizarre that spike should have been weeks before.
The referendum was misappropriated as a platform for a protest vote, which is catastrophic if you think of the implications. It played out exactly like a by-election. No sitting government ever wins a by-election.
Yeah.
Even if the government's doing great and everyone's got jobs and the sun shines all day, midterm by-election, you're not going to win. It's the same in political systems around the world. And therefore, this was like a midterm. And because David Cameron was saddled with being the voice of Remain, essentially it was a way of rejecting what the government are about. And I think it therefore was unfortunate that Cameron had to be the voice of Remain. Now, here's the thing. I don't think Cameron wanted to be the voice of Remain. I think he had no choice because of a guy called Jeremy Corbyn who was frigging useless. Disgust.
How about just say we live in an alternate universe where someone like Frank Underwood is at the helm, and they're really pissed off the fact that the leader of the party has been caught with his dick in a pig's mouth, and they want rid of him. And they don't know how to get rid of him because he can't resign over something that doesn't really make any sense. So what they do is they engineer this referendum. They make him call for the referendum and they put him at the figurehead of a thing he doesn't really want.
Ha.
Thereby knowing that when the public vote to exit, someone must have known. There must be people somewhere that know what's going to happen.
Well, we have a regular contributor to the show called Jo Buck, who's a writer and comedian, and she said that she wasn't going to bother voting because she thought that whatever the sort of the establishment want to happen is what will happen anyway.
What's going to happen?
Which I laughed in her face, and I've got to say, in a moment of madness, I pushed her off her stool. But I just was really surprised at that idea, and I thought, come on, this is democracy. Well, you look at this surprising result and you think, do you know what I mean? I smell a rat.
But if Frank Underwood was behind it and he wanted, this is a really good way to get rid of Cameron, because there's only other way, that's the only way he's going to go if his political acumen's being questioned. Because he's nothing else. Is to, like the tax thing, he didn't go. The offshore taxes, he didn't go with the pig situation. He should have gone.
Well, yeah, I think at some point he was thinking, what have I got to do to get out of here?
Well, I think someone else was going, what do we have to do to get them to turn against him?
Well, let's have a look at what do you do to get rid of somebody when they won't walk off the stage. And this is a reference to Jeremy Corbyn. A sideshow is that the Labour Party is in meltdown. The situation you've got is that a lot of people who are Labour Party members voted for Jeremy Corbyn. In fact, I think he garnered the best part of 50% of the vote from all support.
A landslide, but not his party.
Which is unprecedented, right. But the elected politicians, Labour MPs in the House of Commons, do not support him because they believe he's ineffectual, unelectable, and that some even consider that he deliberately sabotaged the Remain campaign because he's a Eurosceptic. Certainly, if you look at how he's voted in the past and who he has sat with on platforms, there's every evidence that he is a Tony Benn style Brexiteer, Eurosceptic. Anyway, he won't go. And I think in one of the big moments of the last 24 hours, David Cameron, who's clearly demob happy and basically saying what the hell he wants now.
He said, that's my ball. I'm going home.
Well, that's it. So he said this to Jeremy Corbyn in the House of Commons yesterday, which I must say I did a politics degree. I've been a political geek all my life. And I don't think I've ever witnessed a moment like this.
Go. It might be in my party's
interest. All right. I got it. See, this is why they, you know, when we started doing the show originally, they didn't want me to have control of the desk because they said I would mess it up. And now look what's happened. So what we have to do, while I'm doing this, do you have a song you'd like to sing?
Me?
Yeah.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Oh my God, that was actually quite good. Right, here we go. I'm going to have another go at this. I'm going to put the correct fader up. And this is Cameron in the House of Commons yesterday. You'll be amazed, I think, at this if you haven't heard it.
And my 2 months to go, it might be in my party's interest for him to sit there. It's not in the national interest. And I would say, for heaven's sake, that man, go.
I mean, whoa.
Yes, that is just extraordinary. But what a bunch of boorish bullies. I showed my kids Prime Minister's Question Time and they were shocked that that's how the leaders of our country behave towards each other at work. That's just ridiculous. Who does that? Can you imagine? Hey, Mark. Bleh. That's what audiences do to us. But that's what audiences do to us. I would never do that to another comedian because it's disrespectful.
I know.
And you listen to someone and you let them finish. You don't bully them out of your own job just because you fucked up your job.
Well, then that's a very fair comment. And I certainly, in the world of comedy, I'm really against comedian on comedian attacks. And I've been on panel shows where I've seen one comedian go for another comedian. It's so boring when people don't name names, so I'm going to name names.
Who?
Sean Locke. I did a panel show with him, very funny man, very clever guy. And Miles Jupp, very funny man, doing brilliantly on Radio 4 now, which is quite insignificant radio station if you put it in the context of FUBAR Radio, which is the UK's largest ad-free, unregulated online radio station. And also our comedy costs £1 an hour to make, which I think is competitive.
It's money well spent.
Miles Jupp's a brilliant comedian. And Sean just took him down, you know. He's just really obnoxious towards him.
Really?
Mm. And it was things like Miles would make a joke and he'd sort of say, well, that didn't work, did it? Can you believe it?
That's on terrible.
In front of a studio audience, the 300. But now, obviously, none of that made the cut. Who cares? It was all edited out. But it was just like, come on.
So and also, the person who's having a go, they look like the prick. It's not the person that you're making trying to make
I
look
agree
stupid.
With you. So I've never been a fan of comedian on comedian friendly fire.
Done it, I've done it once but by accident, right? There was a guy who was dying on his ass and he started going, I'm going to do fish impressions. Shout out a fish. And I went, Blinder! Oh!
That is so good.
But I didn't. I was trying to help, but it was the first fish that came to mind.
That was just shows your bloody, even your subconscious is funny. You're an evil woman. But so, look, Jeremy Corbyn has a few things to say. He's had a lot of resignations from his shadow cabinet, and there's a suggestion that he's had trouble refilling the shadow cabinet. It's not true. And I have an announcement to say, which is, unfortunately, this is going to be my last show on FUBAR Radio, because I've been offered the job of shadow foreign secretary, and I'm honoured. I want to thank Adam for all your support. Adam is going to join me. He's going to be my parliamentary
Minister
private.
Minister of Agriculture.
Well, he is, yeah. Well, he'd look good in a field.
He looks amazing in Hunter's wedding. Minister of Agriculture.
Now, what do you think? I know that you're to the left. You must be concerned that the main voice of the left, which is the Labour Party, is currently inaudible.
I think it's shocking. I remember sitting next to a lunch one, sitting next to a lunch, being at a lunch.
You never sit next to a lunch.
I sat next to a lunch and I ate it. And I was sitting next to Glenda Jackson and I said to her, is there no way we can just get the best people from every party and form a party?
Wow.
And she was just like, oh, bless you.
Yeah.
Like I was like,
oh, bless.
But there are, so I do think so many people start out in politics for good reasons and they want to do good and they want to help people. I mean, look at Jo Cox. Mm. Why is the Labour, if this was like the Europe, her husband would be running for her
seat.
Yeah,
for sure.
And
for
would
sure.
be elected.
Yeah.
And it would feel right and good and there would be some kind of justice in what's happened. And Nigel Farage saying that the UKIP won with no shots being fired, you're like, oh, come on.
It's a bit
unfortunate.
There's
a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old without a mummy. What fucking planet are you on? I don't understand why they're not capitalising on it. I thought the Tories might say, as you said, Ruth Davidson.
But Ruth Davidson is a very, very popular politician in Scotland. She's the only Conservative MP in Scotland, or what is she?
Oh, I don't know what she is, though, because we didn't vote for any Tories, did we?
By the way, Michael Gove, is he Scottish?
I bloody hope not. We don't want him.
I think he is, you know. But he's one of those.
He's one of those Blairites who went to school at. Where did he go?
Fetty's Cottage, was it?
Not Fetty's. Fetty's Cottage. Fetty's College is massive.
Sorry, Fetty's Cottage is a small Chinese takeaway, which I frequent regularly. You Google that while we look at this issue. And by the way, you're listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News. We're going to look at whether or not you listen to the popular support of the Labour Party and you keep that guy in a job or he should walk away. My feeling, if we're using a kind of comedy metaphor, is that essentially Jeremy Corbyn is dying on his ass. He's having an awful gig. And a comedian, when they're having a tough gig, makes two choices, right? You turf it out and do your time. Or you just say, you're not enjoying this, I'm not enjoying this, shall I go? Don't you think you should do the latter?
I think the rule of thumb is if you're doing well, get on, stay on, and if you're doing badly, get off. There's so many things. I first thought, here's someone who's going to be different, who's going to shake up politics. Mm. When his MPs go, oh, he's ineffectual. Yeah, because you didn't fucking get behind him. You didn't do anything he said. You didn't go, we've got a new leader, let's rally and make this work. None of them did that. They were like, we didn't vote for him, the public voted for him. Imagine that. Imagine the public voting for something.
I was all for Jeremy Corbyn repositioning the debate in mainstream politics towards inequality and a disaffected underclass who eventually will riot and indeed have done in the past.
Why aren't we rioting?
Well, there you go. But so that was no problem. But I think a lot of people lost a huge amount of respect for Jeremy Corbyn when he, the thing is, either or is terrible. Either he's such a bad communicator that he really wanted to remain and there was no evidence of it because he just can't get his message across. Mm-hmm. And if he's so bad at communicating that the public, Labour voters didn't even know what the Labour Party's position was on the referendum until mm-hmm. it was clarified. So if he's incompetent and can't communicate, that's already terrible. He must go. But the alternative is worse, which is essentially a conspiracy by him and his people to get us out because deep down he's a dyed-in-the-wool Eurosceptic, which is a terribly unpalatable thought.
It is an unpalatable thought. You think it's through dishonest means he's got what he wants.
Well, we all do that sometimes, don't we?
Fight from the inside.
You know, it's like You know, in your family, when the kids want to do something and you don't want to, and it's a bit like, oh, I'm afraid Thorpe Park's closed today. They're having maintenance
work.
I
don't know what you're talking about. I tend to do it.
Do you? Yeah, you yield.
That's why I was a little bit late today. My little boy had a home visit, and I was like, I can't just fuck off as soon as the new teacher arrives.
Tell me about the home visit. What happened?
Well, I was kind of like, isn't that sweet? They're coming around to start, because my little one is starting a new school in September.
Nice. Yeah.
And they send a teacher around to the house to chat and to meet you. And I was like, I thought it was so nice. It's a friendly face coming to the house so that when he starts school, he knows his teacher, and that's really cool for him. And then one of my other friends said, yeah, but they're just making sure you live where you say you live.
That's all it is.
And I was like,
yeah.
Oh.
What they're doing is they want to confirm the address and they want to look for bruises on your child. And that's all it is.
I don't want to believe like that. I don't want to believe that.
No, and you're right not to.
I don't want to be that guy. So, I don't want to be the Corbyn people that think he's done it all on purpose.
Okay. Well, you know what? We can only speculate. But the bottom line is that I think, you know, when you've got the outgoing Prime Minister, who, let's be honest, hasn't really got an agenda anymore, I think his attitude was, he just said, I think he put it very powerfully, that it's in my party's interest for you to stay, but it's not in the national interest. What is the problem here, mate? You should go. And I think that was wounding, and I'm not sure he'll recover. And I look at someone like Angela Eagle, I think she could be great.
Do you think?
Because she's to the left of the party, but she's a highly educated lady. And I think she's achieved great stuff in her career already. And I think, yeah, she's a female. It could be very good news.
What kind of world are we living in where we're now at the stage where we've got two parties and no leader of either of them? And you know now that Nicola Sturgeon is petitioning to be in opposition, official opposition, because the Labour Party is in such disarray. At least the SNP have got a coherent party. Wouldn't it be ironic if Nicola Sturgeon was responsible for reuniting the United Kingdom?
It's a strange thought, but it could happen. After this guy tells you what you're listening to and a trailer for a brilliant show, we're going to talk about some other stories before Wendy Wason has to go and be glamorous somewhere.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio presents...
My current lover has a very nice chest of hair. He said there was a thing that he really liked. He got me to eat some toast with lemon curd over his chest and make sure...
FUBAR Radio presents...
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
There was a table with a reserve sign on it. So what I did was very maturely, I wrote reserved at 7 p.m. for my big D. Oh, the texter was permanent.
Right.
Great.
Hey, sorry, I need to confess something. And I wrote reserved at 7 p.m. for my big D.
You are? Was that you?
And then I realised after I did it that it was permanent marker. My name's Michael Payne. Michael Payne, it is. I'm a rapper.
No, even that. Just say, you're not a rapper.
Yeah, you are the whitest man alive. That's who you are.
Every Friday.
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
From 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
More great content from FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest online radio station. And it is Mark Dolan with you at 12:47 on a momentous week for British politics. And we hope that even those who are not politically inclined have found themselves intrigued by this. I mean, I've certainly found that, Wendy, in comedy clubs on the circuit, that because it's such a big story, it feels like the first time in a while that I've been comfortable talking about politics on stage and not boring people to tears.
Oh, really? I think people are really bored now.
They're engaged with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The problem you've got on the normal week is having a thing where you're doing a gig and you go, oh, by the way, did you notice that directive about the agriculture policy from the, you know, the minutiae of daily politics is of not of great interest to the great British public. But somehow everyone is. I mean, can I be honest with you? I've had a long-standing theory that the reason why America has these successful daily talk shows like The Daily Show, formerly Jon Stewart, now Trevor Noah, The Late Night with David Letterman, Jay Leno, all of those guys, Jimmy Fallon and the rest. The reason why is because American politics is so box office, it's so compelling, and it's such a part of the culture. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you've got these personalities, you've got Obama, you've got Trump, you've got both of the Clintons. You know, it's like a soap opera, isn't
it? Do you think that is because they don't have a royal family, so their glamorous ones are their elected officials?
Absolutely, because a president is a head of state and a head of government rolled into one. Completely.
Yeah.
That is the
The first lady is glamorous. The first lady is the queen,
time.
If you will.
And that's why America is, in a way, such a mess politically, is because if your head of government is also the head of state, it means that you can't really hate the president that much because you're sort of hating the prime minister, but also he's the queen as well. Mm-hmm. And it's therefore you're divided. Whereas what's healthy about this country is we can save our invective for the elected politicians.
Yeah.
And then you've got this quaint old lady who opens hospitals, which I think works quite well.
I think it does. It's a division of labour, isn't it? But then you get people shouting because the queen... I mean, I don't know what the facts are. I would like a show in the UK that explains all the politics and explains people shouting their heads off about how the Queen spends all our money and she doesn't all our taxpayers' money. And yet they must bring in a lot of money because people come to Buckingham Palace and they come to see the Queen and they come for that sort of... I mean, I've got so many friends, like American friends, who love coming to the UK to go to Wimbledon or to go to...
Kew Gardens,
races or whatever, all the sort of things that are particularly British.
Yeah.
They want to go there and soak up that stuff.
Blind,
because they're such a new country.
No, that's it. I think you're right.
I'm not sure that we want to go to NASCAR as much as they want to come to our stuff.
Very good point. And we're going off piece slightly here. I'm not a monarchist, Wendy Wason, at all. In fact, I think the idea of it is preposterous. But I think that there's a bit of a tradition in Britain for stuff that doesn't make any sense but kind of works.
Yeah.
And I think that if you didn't have the Queen, you'd still have to have a head of state, right?
Yeah. So,
and they're still going to need a palace.
I think we get rid of the minor royals, but I think we should have one big royal at the top.
Completely. I think so. Because otherwise, if it's like President John Prescott or President Tony Blair or President Bloody...
Tony Prescott.
Actually, I would love that.
Oh, my God.
But they're still going to have a really posh house and they're still going to have security. But the thing is, no one's going to take notice if these people go and have a visit to America. Whereas when the Queen pitches up in Washington, it's a big story. So I think I agree with you. Well, look, Michael Gove, you found out his genealogy, his background.
Well, he's British. He's known as British, but he was born in Edinburgh.
How bad do you feel?
I don't feel bad. It's nothing to do with me. I was born in South Africa, but I'm still British.
Oh, yeah,
British.
I forgot about that. Suddenly, now that you found out he's Scottish...
Disassociating myself from Edinburgh. I'm not from Edinburgh anymore.
So he's a
because
classic...
South Africa is a much better country to come from, isn't it?
Don't you think... Good point. Don't you think that Michael Gove is sort of typical Edinburgh stock? He's almost like... They're sort of an anglicised grand Scot, you know.
I think Loretto's that school that
high
that
culture.
Sort of really posh. There's different people in Edinburgh. There's your Edinburgh born, and then your people who are like, they go, oh, I'm from Edinburgh. And you're like, really? Part of Edinburgh is that accent from? It's a kind of, they're English Edinburgh. They're landowners.
That's it. They're not really proper Scottish.
They're not really proper. Well, I don't think they're proper Scottish. They'd say they're proper Scottish, but they're not. They all speak posh.
They all voted. And by the way, I love Edinburgh, where I spent 4 years of my life. The happiest years of my life, because I was a student there. An amazing time. But I mean, in a way, it's a very anglicised city.
It's a very anglicised city.
They voted to remain in the United Kingdom. They voted to remain in the EU. I think Michael Gove, two things on him. First of all, I've gone from worrying about Boris Johnson becoming prime minister to worrying about him being prime minister.
Okay.
This is my new headache. And I think I believe he was ruthlessly bullied at school. He's got that look. I also think I wouldn't be surprised.
And that deserves pity rather than sort of judgment, don't you
no,
think?
No, because it means he's damaged and he's going to hurt us.
I was bullied at school, but I don't think I'm damaged.
No, well, you get your own back with the microphone.
I think you have to do some work on yourself.
Shoes on the other foot now. I've been doing work on myself for years. Haven't you noticed?
You know
a lot
what I
of
mean?
That I do alone when my wife's on business in a Hillary Clinton trouser suit, which I'm constantly dry cleaning.
What does your wife do?
She's an architect.
Oh, okay. So there's someone bringing in actual money.
I've got a headache because we've had Brexit. She's German. She's going to have to go.
That's not going to happen.
Almost immediately.
Does she feel any
I'm assuming
resentment
there will be
of
buses.
European countries?
No, look, she's furious, like everyone here, really, in London. She's furious that we've done this. It is madness, political and economic suicide. But we're stuck with it now. So what we're going to do...
How do we fix it now, Mark? Let's move on from
Let's roll
Brexit.
On. Okay,
let's
what we're going to do...
decide
let's,
how we fix it then.
Okay, what we need to do is I think, actually... We're going to have to swallow the Brexit thing.
I think we are.
Yeah,
I
because only
on
2 days ago, I was all about a second referendum and let's fight this. Tim Farron, who is the leader of the Liberal Democrats, of whom I'm a private admirer.
Oh, yeah, the Liberal Democrats.
I say private because I do it alone. I don't want anyone to find out.
Of course.
He's quite a good communicator. He said that the Lib Dem manifesto is going to be for Britain to rejoin the European Union. Do you think it could ever happen?
I don't know. I mean, it could happen, I suppose. But I kind of feel... And also, here's the thing. It was a referendum. It's not a legal and binding thing. There's at any point in time, a politician could go, well, we understand what you think, but here's why we're not doing that.
Yeah.
That could happen. If someone had any nuts out there and thought it was absolutely against the public interest to do that, and somebody with some power could actually say that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
So I don't understand why the world's in meltdown about it. I was really upset. I had people saying to me on Twitter, well, you know, you're just being a sore loser. And I find the idea that I want what I think is best for my country and it didn't happen to be a sore loser extraordinary. It's not a fight. It's just an opinion.
No. Well, listen, I've got a solution for you, and it's a very good point. You asked about how we move forward. We've only got a few more minutes in the show to go.
Have we?
We do, which is, has it flown by?
It has flown by.
I know, and I've played...
I hope it's flown by for the listeners.
The time. I've played 5 records, you wouldn't know it. Here's my question to you. A lot of people are thinking of leaving now, they're having their own little Brexit. A lot of people feel that in this current climate, I mean, certainly companies are thinking of investing elsewhere. Non-UK citizens are thinking, I don't want to be in this atmosphere anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm off-ski. So if you were to emigrate, where would you go and why?
Well, I quite like the thought of Canada because I like Justin Trudeau. Is everyone like Canada? That seems to be a very popular suggestion.
He's the Prime Minister.
People are punching the air through there.
Adam revealing a lot about his private proclivities. Producer Adam, has the screensaver of Justin Trudeau on his phone.
He's incredible. And I might have told you this last time. I looked up how to sort of bring up a son who was as enlightened and as incredible as Justin Trudeau. And his father was a total philanderer.
Yeah.
So that's just a step I'm not willing to take.
It's a bit tricky.
It is a bit tricky. But I think he's got the right. Like when he was asked about his gender balance cabinet, he said, "Why do you have a gender balance cabinet?" And he went, "Because it's 2016." He was just bewildered by it. He just seems like such a decent...
Justin Trudeau, Google him if you haven't seen him. If you're a woman, you will melt. If you're a man, you will go gay straight away. I know I have, and I've never felt better.
I've got friends that are emigrating to Puerto Rico next
month. That's a good one.
They were just like, fuck this. And they're off to Puerto Rico. Great schools. Economy's not doing too badly. Sunshine, beaches.
Puerto Rico's nice. I always think California is great.
But if Trump gets in...
Well, Trump hopefully won't, although we said that about Remain and Brexit. But California has the perfect climate. It's never too hot. It's never too cold. It doesn't get humid. It's sunshine. It's the world capital of entertainment, world capital of innovation, of science. It's cultural. It's got great weather. It's got the beach.
San Francisco's got great restaurants.
Not rubbish. Not rubbish at all. I'd take a bit of California. I'd also consider moving to the Republic of Ireland, which is my homeland, because both my parents are Irish. And I would consider just being within the bosom of the Irish Republic.
So you can get a passport.
Yes, I can. And I'm going to. I'm out of here, dude.
Do you know my friend, like, she went to renew her, I think it was like her TV license, and went to the post office in Northern Ireland. She was like, can I renew my TV license? He went, oh my God, you're the first person today that hasn't asked for a passport application.
Yeah, what does that tell you about? I mean, it's perfect. So, okay, we've covered that. You're going to go to Puerto Rico. Good luck with that. We've got a couple of really, really fun stories. First of all, Jodie Marsh, who is a former sort of celebrity reality star, who's gone on to be a very successful bodybuilder, actually, and has reinvented herself, which is, I think, really impressive. And one of the things she's done is to give up sex, and she said she's never felt better. Could you live without a bit of hanky-panky Wendy Wason?
No.
Moving on. Man so desperate to find love, he makes... No, I don't like that story. I've got a better story. Apple has devised a way of blocking people taking pictures at gigs.
I think that's a great idea.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And well done, Apple, for doing this. So basically what it is that venues can send out a special kind of Wi-Fi blocking signal, which means that the camera function won't work on your phone.
Perfect.
And that's good for two reasons. One, it's not nice for comedians to have their work filmed on a bad phone and then posted on YouTube, because comedy often does not work in context.
Especially a new material night. So that happened a couple of weeks ago to me, and I was kind of like, are you filming? And then I looked like a bad-tempered twat.
Yeah.
For mourning about it, but it's not even finished. It's like the nugget of an idea that might be funny in the future.
And also, it just is a wider point about maybe living in the moment. And if you've got Coldplay in front of you, why don't you listen to them?
And
Coldplay was the wrong example.
Commit it to memory. I quite like Coldplay at the moment. I think it might be age.
But yeah, essentially, it's like live in the moment, put that phone down, put it away, just generally.
Yeah. If you're on the phone, you're not in the room.
Sorry, I'm just checking my Facebook. Okay, and then I've got a final question for you, and it is actually it's very, very simple, which is flatmates from hell. A flat has been left in a terrible mess with, I'm afraid, poo strewn all over the floor. Have you got any flat stories from hell? Terrible flats you've stayed in, terrible flatmates?
I was always really lucky. There was one flatmate who didn't do the washing up, but we just piled up all the washing up and put it outside his door so he fell over it. And then that didn't happen again.
It's you know, I love your honesty. I've never had bad flatmates, which makes me think maybe I was the bad flatmate. Wendy Wason, it's been a dream, it's been a joy, and we'll see you dangerously soon. Stay cool.
Dangerously soon.
FUBAR Radio presents The
Jack Late Show. So today we're going to do happy rants.
We're going to be talking about stuff that we love, and if you love stuff too, why not hit that thumbs up button and share the love?
The first word is ants.
I love ants because they're like badgers but very tiny.
B. Oh, we're going to go for bazookas.
I love bazookas. C. What's C?
C. With celery.
Celery. You actually lose more calories eating celery than there is in celery. Oh. So it's like the gym.
It's like the gym for you now.
Mouth gym.
A gob gym.
What's D?
D is the dean of a school.
Every Friday. The Jack Late Show. From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.